You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Turn with me, if you will, to the book of Numbers, chapter 6. The most exciting book in the Bible. I love the book of Numbers. Just numbering those tribes, you know, just naming them one after the other. It's kind of like the genealogy in Matthew 1. You know, but there are some great things in there when you put it all together. Everybody say peace.
Peace.
Okay, that's what we're ministering on. You'll recognize this blessing that I'm going to read here. It's a real common blessing. You've probably seen it on plaques. You've heard people say it over and over. But I want to put it in the context of how it was said. God spoke to Moses in the 22nd verse of the 6th chapter. He said this, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Speak to Aaron and his sons, saying, This is the way you shall bless the children of Israel." So, in essence, this really was a priestly blessing. A priestly blessing on the children of Israel. Think about it this way. God is telling Moses to tell the ministers that when they address the people, they need to address them and bless them this way. That make sense? So this is instruction for me as a pastor or any minister, new covenant, old covenant, whatever. I mean, God's intention, His intent, His purpose is still the same. You know, God really does love you. He really does. He loves us. I don't understand that, but He does. He cares about us. He's concerned about us. He has our best interest in mind. And here He is instructing the instructors. In other words, telling the priests, the ministers, that when they get up and invoke His name and use His name and address the people in the name of the Lord, that they are to bless them and say to them this. This is what they said. The 24th verse. The Lord bless you and keep you. Hallelujah. That's a good one, isn't it? In other words, I'm not up here to tell you how sorry, no good, and worthless you are. Maybe I'd say that as an aside before you got saved, trying to get you to come to Jesus to get fixed and get value. Are you with me? I'm not here to blast you. I'm not here to tell you, you know, all the things wrong with you. I'll address sin. Obviously, I'm a minister. I'm going to address sin, talk about right and wrong. But you are loved by God, and you can come out of that sin, and you can repent, and you can have a better life, and you don't have to live that way.
Amen.
God's for you, not against you. Amen. I'm not here to tell you you're going to hell. I'm here to tell you you don't have to go to hell. I'm here to tell you you can go to heaven. Obviously, I'll address hell and talk about hell. And I believe more people go to hell than heaven, according to the Scripture. But it's not God's will. God doesn't want them to go there. His will is that they go to heaven. But they can only go to heaven through Him. So you've got to come to Him to go to heaven. He's the way. He's the door. You know, He's the path. All roads don't lead to God. All roads don't lead to Dallas. You know, if you're in Wills Point, you can't head east and hit Dallas. You have to head west. Can't head south and north. I mean, Dallas is a particular place. So there's roads that lead there and there's roads that lead other places. Well, heaven is a particular place. All roads don't lead there. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so, you know, I'm here to tell you that God loves you and He's for you and He wants you to go to heaven and Jesus is the way. I'm here to bless you. Bless you. Now, that doesn't mean I'm... Amen. Thank God. It doesn't mean that I don't touch on subjects of repentance and rebuke and so on and so forth. But it's in love. I mean, it's in a way that you can make it. You can come out of this. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. You're more than a conqueror through Him that loved you. Greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. Praise God, you can do it.
Amen.
You're not alone. You can come out of this thing. Don't let the devil ruin your life and your family and your marriage and your business. Don't you put up with that. You start praying and believing. Don't you give in to that sin. Overcome that thing. You're born to overcome sin. It's going to take some effort. It's going to take some discipline. It's going to take some changing of habits. But you can do it, praise God. God will help you do it. No, you can't talk yourself out of a situation you behaved yourself into. But you can change your behavior. Are you out there or have you gone home? Okay. So he told them, he told these priests, he said, you say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. Man, that's our picture of God. That's the concept we should get. Biblical concept, biblical picture, scriptural concept. God's will is to bless us, and God's will is to keep us. All the commandments have to do with blessing you. All these things about loving each other and forgiving each other and living holy, that's your best interest God has in mind. He's trying to help you. He's like a daddy trying to tell you how the world works, okay, and trying to tell you how to get the most out of life.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
You're going to be miserable if you go around hating people. You're going to have a miserable marriage if you don't forgive. And you live a life of criticism instead of uplifting and praising, and you're condemning and criticizing. Oh, come on. You're ruining yourself. You're shooting yourself in the foot. Hallelujah. That's better preaching. Y'all are amen it. So he says, the Lord bless you and keep you, guard you, keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. I love that. And be gracious to you. Now see, that's God. That's... This, I'm telling you, preachers, this is what you need to say to the people. This is what he's saying. He says, Moses, you tell Aaron, you tell his sons that when they get up and they speak to these people and use my name, bless them this way. Wow.
Yes. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. His grace. Boy, if we hadn't experienced that, man, I'll tell you what, we experienced this in Jesus Christ, didn't we? The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The favor, the unmerited favor, the grace of God has come to us and been revealed to us in Jesus Christ, His Son. Hallelujah. And if He has blessed us and He has kept us and He has shined His face upon us in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Wow. See, God does not want you to live in turmoil.
Yeah.
He doesn't want you to be anxious and fretful. In fact, really concerning peace, you could easily quote Philippians 4, 6. You know, it says, be anxious for nothing, careful for nothing, fretful for nothing is what it means. Be careful for nothing. Careful, you know, when the King James Version was written, careful had a different connotation, different meaning than it does today. You know, we'll tell people be careful when they leave the house, and that's just mean use cautious, use wisdom. But actually, in King Jimmy terms, when they said be careful, they meant worry, you know. So we don't want to have a care or a worry. Be careful for nothing, careful, full of care, anxious, worried, fretful for nothing. But by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. He'll keep you. He'll guard you with His peace. Amen. That's a New Testament, New Covenant scripture that's promised, that's backing this up. Peace, in one sense, is just that. Peace is... Peace, if you made an acronym out of it, P-E-A-C-E, you could say it this way. Peace is pursuing the promise. It's pursuing the promise. It's expecting the promise, not the bad news, but the good news. It's anticipating. Are you with me? Anticipating the promise. It's confessing the promise, and it's experiencing the promise. P-A-C-E. I was just playing around with that word one day and thought about it, that it comes down to the promise. It comes down to what God has said. Do I trust Him? Do I not trust Him? Do I believe or do I not believe? Am I pursuing what He says or am I not pursuing it? Do I really expect what He says to happen?
Amen.
To anticipate it? Do I confess what He says? And do I experience what He says? Peace comes from, another way to say it is, I wrote this out, placing everything at Christ's expense. All my troubles and all my trials and everything that comes my way, I put it over on His account. I place everything at Christ's expense and I have peace. Hallelujah. I believe He paid the price for everything. I believe He took my pain. He took my sorrow. By His stripes I am healed. Hallelujah. And so I place it over there at Christ's expense. Why? Because God loves me. He's for me. I don't know why, but He is. And I am, as a minister, supposed to tell you, the Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious, full of grace to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Wow, that's a powerful blessing, isn't it?
Amen.
In fact, I think we could make that personal, real simply,
amen,
and just say it this way, Lord, bless me. Lord, keep me. Lord, make Your face shine upon me. Lord, be gracious to me. Lord, lift up your countenance upon me. And Lord, give me peace. He ends up, he says this. He says, so they shall put my name on the children of Israel. In other words, they will invoke the name of God on the children of Israel, and I will bless them. Wow. I have an obligation as a minister when I talk about God and I talk about you and I talk about how God sees you or views you or God's will for you. I have an obligation to tell you that God's will for you is good. Doesn't mean you're experiencing it. It doesn't mean you're in line. I mean, I think we found the enemy and he is us. Amen. Hello. But if we'll get back right and get straightened out here, God wants to bless us.
Amen.
God wants us to have a good marriage. It's not your will in life that you have a bad marriage. It's not your cross to bear, nor is it your thorn in the flesh.
Amen.
Hello. Which, you know, I've taught on those things before. And no, you're not another Job. Hallelujah. Thank God I'm born again.
Amen.
Amen. So you're not going through those things just because, you know, God just doesn't care too much about you and doesn't not concerned about you. No, God's will for you is good. Now, there's no peace for the wicked. But there's peace for those that serve God. There's peace for those that pursue God, that go after God, that, you know, that have a heart for God and have a hunger for God and put Him first. Man, you put Him first, my goodness, He'll open up the windows of heaven. I mean, all of heaven will be an open storehouse for you and for me if we'll put Him first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you.
Amen.
I pray that you prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. And Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 tells us this, that if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God and do that which is right in His sight and keep His commandments which He commands you this day, that all these blessings will come on you and they will overtake you, and you shall be blessed in the city, you'll be blessed in the field, blessed in the storehouse, blessed in the field, blessed in the fruit of your body, the fruit of your kind, the flocks of your sheep. He'll cause the rain to come down in your land in its season and bless all the work of your hand. You will lend to many nations and shall not borrow. Hallelujah. Putting Him first.
Amen.
See, putting Him first. Because that's His will. That's what He desires for us.
Yeah.
Now, it's not just sloppy and it's not without conditions. It's not without a pure heart. And it doesn't just happen. You can't just live any way you want to. I understand that. But why would you want to live some other way when everything you're looking for is in Him?
Yeah. That's right.
Why would you go out searching, trying to find it out there somewhere when it's all in Him? Everything you're looking for is in Jesus.
Yeah.
Purpose and peace and blessing, it's all in Him. Turn over to Jeremiah 29. Excuse me for getting excited about Jesus. Notice what it says here, and this is familiar. I mean, many of you could quote these verses that I'm quoting here. Jeremiah 29. Notice what it says here in the 11th verse. God speaking. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord." Wow, there's a good one. I mean, you know, what kind of conversation is going on in heaven when He's talking about me? That's a good question, you know. How does God think about me? What does He think towards me? You know, I think a certain way about Him, and I think certain thoughts about Him. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. They're right when they're in line with His Word. They're wrong when they're not. But God is always right. Amen? And it says here, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil." Wow. To give you a future and a hope.
Amen.
One translation says a destiny. I like that. God has a destiny for us. He has a hope for us and He has a future for us. Our future is so bright you've got to wear shades.
Amen.
I mean, in Christ, hallelujah, we got a great, great future. Now, you know, there's tragedy along life's way. There's pain along life's way. And I don't want to candy coat life. Life doesn't always treat you good, but God does.
That's right.
You know, this world is broken. Come on, I'm not in heaven. You're not in heaven. I understand that. I'm not saying that if you get a hold of this, nothing bad will ever happen. Are you kidding? You have to be taken out of the world for nothing bad to ever happen to you.
That's
heaven. That's called heaven, where there's no sighing, crying, dying, no sickness, no disease, no pain, no mosquitoes, chiggers, red bugs. That's heaven. Here there are battles and there's trials and there are troubles and so on and so forth. But our peace doesn't come from here. It comes from heaven.
Right.
Our peace is what God gives. Hallelujah. Got to get to Him to get it. Got to look to Him to get it. And if your mind is just filled with this world, you're not going to have peace. If your mind is just filled with your situation, your tragedy, your crisis, your problem, your issue, then you're not going to have peace, because peace doesn't come from your issue, your problem, your crisis. You may think that if everything straightens out and gets better, you'll have peace. But peace doesn't even come from what you have. It doesn't even come from things going well. There are people that have tons of money that have no peace. Can't sleep at night. Worried about the riches, worried they're going to lose them. They can't even have peace when things are going good, because they're afraid it's going to turn around and go bad. Peace comes from within. And it comes from heaven. Amen? And God wants you to have it. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you, and you will seek me and find me when you search me with your whole heart.
That's it.
Wow. Praise God. So if I put Him first and I seek after Him, peace is going to come, because it comes from Him. It doesn't come from everything lining up. It comes from Him. Actually, it comes from me knowing that it's going to be all right. It comes from me knowing God's Word is true. I might be going through a trial, but I can still have peace. I can have peace in the storm, peace in the trial, peace in the test, peace in everything going wrong, because my peace doesn't come from here. It comes from there. This is the peace that Jesus gives. The world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away.
That's right.
It's like a mindset. It's an attitude. It's inside, not outside. Woo! You know, what does Isaiah 26:3 say? It says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed, fixed, focused on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Man, there's the rub, isn't it? I mean, we don't always trust in God. We got this problem going on, and we don't know how it's going to work out. And perfect fear cast out love. You have to think about that one. And we start fearing, and we get perfected in it. We get good at it. We work at it. We're professional warriors. Not warriors, but warriors. We're warrior warriors. That's what we are. Warriors. Say that 10 times real fast. And so we have no peace. And you know, sometimes those things that we worry about don't even happen. We just made ourselves miserable for no reason whatsoever. It didn't turn out to be that way at all, you know. And we just made ourselves miserable. But it all comes down to our trust factor. We didn't trust God. If we trust God, we have peace. Peace comes from Him. Thou wilt keep in perfect peace of mind and stayed on thee, because He trusteth in thee. You know, I quoted over there Philippians 4:6 about, you know, be careful, anxious, fretful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, he's assuming you're going to turn it over to him. You're going to pray and thank him for the answer with thanksgiving. And so you have a certain amount of trust there when you've prayed. And so you're going to have peace, because you're trusting God about the things that would have normally made you worry and fret and anxious. You turn them over to him now, and you're trusting him. And the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. He goes on to say, and whatsoever is true, whatsoever is just, whatsoever is noble, whatsoever is pure, if it be of a good report, if it be any virtue, if it be any praise, think on these things.
Amen.
Are you with me? Think on these things. So it's a mindset. It's what you think on. You lay awake at night worrying about things. You lay awake at night not trusting. Not trusting has a price. It has a cost. It robs the peace of God from you. It robs the rest from you. You know, stress is a killer. Anxiety and stress, I mean, it'll mess your blood pressure up. It'll mess everything up. You know, it'll make you, you know, more prone to sickness and so on and so forth. It's just not a good thing. Don't get stressed out. That's the 11th commandment. Thou shalt not sweat it. Amen? What was that book that said, don't sweat the small stuff, and underneath it said, and it's all small stuff?
Oh, yeah.
We think it's big stuff, but it's not. It's all small stuff. So it's a mindset. It's what you're thinking on. Peace comes from right thinking. It comes from thinking on who God really is and what He really says. That's why these ministers were so obligated to say these things to the people, so they didn't get the wrong concept of God And they didn't get the wrong picture of God. God's a good God, and He loves us, and He's for us, and He wants to bless us and be gracious to us, and He wants to guard us and keep us, and He wants to cause His face to shine upon us, and He wants to give us peace. Woo! Peace from the Lord Jesus Christ, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what the New Testament writer said over and over and over. It comes from Jesus. It comes from God. It comes from a knowledge of God's Word. You know, Psalms 119, verse 165 says, "Great peace have they that love thy law." They know what God says. They know what His Word says. Isaiah 54:13, right in there, where it says, "All your children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their peace." Right teaching, right thinking gives you peace. You just got to change your thinking. You got to change the way you're thinking about your situation. Your mindset. What is it that rolls around in your head when you lay it down at night? You know those little dolls, they used to lay them down, you know, and their eyes would close. You know, we're almost worried it makes your eyes pop open when you lay down. You know, look at the ceiling. You start thinking about that day. Think about what's going to happen tomorrow and all these bad scenarios and pictures. Oh, come on, man. Don't let that take over you. Why don't you pray before you go to bed? Stand on the promise. Meditate on the Word. The Word will bring you peace. You can get so busy just being busy, even doing good things, that you forget to trust God. People get busy pastoring. People get busy working in children's church. People get busy in the nursery. People get busy doing any number of things, ushering, cleaning the building. You know, we get so busy doing things for God that we're really not trusting God. Now, stay with me. You need to do those things, but you need to do them with your faith and your trust in God.
Amen.
People burn out working for God. Nobody burns out trusting God. Nobody burns out ministering to God. Nobody burns out being, you know, listening to God and hearing what He has to say. We burn out doing things, but when we quit coming, we forget what this is all about. Our peace doesn't come from the things we do. It comes from trusting God. My peace doesn't come from just pastoring. It comes from trusting God. It comes from keeping my mind stayed and fixed and focused on Him. It comes from His Word. There is a power in God's Word like no other Word. There's a power in these promises like no other book you can read, no other newspaper, no other news you could read, nothing else you could read has the power of these words. This is God's Word. It'll drive out doubt. It'll drive out depression. It will drive out the feeling of worthlessness and uselessness. It'll get purpose. It'll put courage inside of you. God's Word is just that. It's God's Word. And when you hear it and you confess it and you pray it and you say it and you meditate on it, it changes your life. It'll stir you up. But if you neglect it, you will get weaker and weaker and weaker. So you just need a good dose of the Word.
Amen.
There was a song that was written by the Songwriters, which is a kind of radical Christian group. We actually had them in our church. And they were talking about being hooked on the Bible. And I'm trying to remember the words of that song. It says, "I'm a Jesus junkie and I can't get enough. Sweet Holy Moses, I am hooked on this stuff." I said, "I need a little bit of Jesus each day. I'm a Jesus junkie and I like it that way. I wake up early morning each dawn. I have to have more of what I hooked on. I grab my Bible, which is laying on the shelf." Anyway, it says take a double dose. And anyway, he says the best buzz there ever was. You know, but we need to be hooked on this stuff. We need to be Jesus junkies. Can't get enough. It's the best buzz there ever was. One day we're going to overdose and go right on up. There is no high like the Most High. Come on. But we're looking for purpose. We're looking for peace. Man, it's from God. It comes from His Word. It doesn't come from the trees. It doesn't come from the lake. It doesn't. Are you with me? Now, I know God's creation is a wonderful place, and I think we ought to enjoy it. It was given to us to enjoy. That's what He said. But we don't worship it. We worship Him. We don't worship creation, we worship the Creator. Hallelujah. And that's where our purpose comes from. That's where our peace comes from. And His words just have such power. I mean, I can be so down. And I start quoting the Word, and I start standing on the Word, and I start reading the Word, read it out loud, you know, and sometimes I'll just take it and make it personal, you know, as I'm reading it, and turn it around, put me in there, and I'll read something. I said, "Thank you, Father, for blessing me. Thank you for giving me peace. Thank you for keeping me and guarding me, God. Thank you for shining your light on me, O Lord." And then, before long, I just pull myself right up out of that depression. And it wasn't me that did it. It was Him and His Word. But it was my decision to fix my mind on Him. To focus on His promise. Because peace only comes from Him. Now, will you do your part? That's will you keep your mind stayed on Him? That's the question. Will you think on these things? Will you be taught by the Lord? That's the question. Do you love His law? Well, if you do, great peace have those that love thy law. Proverbs 3, turn there if you will. It's helping anybody. God doesn't want you to live that way. Doesn't want you to live that. He doesn't want you to live in depression. I don't know what kind of cloud you're dealing with, what kind of darkness you're dealing with. But I know it is not the will of God. It is not God's will. It is not your plight in life. That's just the way it is. That's the way we are. No, it's not the way it is. It's the way the devil would like you to think it should be. And if you buy his lie, he'll rule your life. But it's not God's will. God's will is very plain. His thoughts toward you are good, not evil. Peace. Peace, peace, peace. Hallelujah. He wants to bless you. Man, I'd take that prayer. You know, in Numbers, and just make it personal like we did a while ago. I went over and said it personally. Write that thing out if you need to. Put it on an index card. Put it right there on your car and your dashboard, whatever. Put it on your refrigerator, wherever you spend your most time. Okay. Put it on the mirror in the bathroom. When you shave in the morning, you're looking at it, you know. Today, God will bless me. Today, God will keep me and guard me. Today, God will cause His face to shine upon me. Today, God will give me peace. Today, God's will and thoughts toward me. God's thinking about me today.
Amen.
And His thoughts are of peace, not of evil. Good. And He has a hope and a destiny for me. And I will keep my mind stayed on Him. Hallelujah. And He will keep me in perfect peace. Praise God. I trust in Him today. See, meditate on that. There's power in those words. You can drive that doubt right out of you. See, peace doesn't come in a vacuum. Peace doesn't come from an absence of doubt. It doesn't come from just an absence of wrong thinking. It comes from the presence of right thinking. It comes from the presence of faith. It is a product of something. Are you with me? It is caused by something. So you don't decide today you're just not going to worry. You start meditating on what brings peace. Isn't that right? Because worry is just meditating on things that bring fear. Well, you don't just say, "I'm just not going to do that," or "I'm just not going to sin," or "I'm just not going to do bad things." Well, that's all well and good. That's a nice sentiment, but I tell you what, just staying clean, you're not going to be able to just stay clean. You got to go clean some things. In other words, you have to go do good things. That keeps you from doing bad things. Meditate on God's Word. Think good thoughts. God's Word. That keeps you from worrying. I mean, Christianity is a very active truth. It's not a passive thing. Christianity is very active. It's doing. Be doers of the Word, not hearers only. Deceiving your own self. You know, I'm just going to be clean. I'm not going to be mad at anybody today. I'm not going to hate anybody today. I'm not going to say bad things today. You're going to go in a closet and close the door. Well, it didn't work that way. You have to decide you're going to go love somebody today. You're going to go lift somebody today. You're going to go praise somebody today. You're going to help somebody today. See, you do things. Don't leave the inn empty. Okay? Put the sign up, "There's no room," because it's just full of God's Word. Got no room for doubt. Got no room for hate. Got no room because we're filled with loving, blessing.
Praise God.
Don't have a vacant mind. No. Keep your mind filled with God's Word. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3, found it? Okay. And we'll just quit here in a minute. I mean, we don't get through. If I start going over all the scriptures that talk about peace, my. I just remembered something I'd like to get to if I have time. But anyway, okay. Yeah, we'll do that. I'll get to that. Let's go to this one, then we'll go to the other one that I was thinking about. Proverbs 3, my son, do not forget, first verse, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace, they will add to you. Hallelujah, somebody. That's good to hear. He'll give you some more days even. You know, people, somehow this has creeped into the church, the idea that we all have this appointed time to die. That, well, it's your time to go, it's your time to go. Nothing you can do about it. But the Bible does not say that. It says appointed man wants to die. And we've even twisted scriptures like, you know, well, we only have a number of days. No, it says, teach me to number my days. That's what it says. In other words, use them wisely. But the scripture's filled with promises of adding years to your life.
Amen.
Honor your mother and father. The first commandment with promise, the Bible says, that you may live long. Okay? Now, this is interesting. You can cut your life short. That's not some supernatural, mystical thing, your death date. You know, he died in a car wreck, or he died with sickness, or he died, you know, of a heart attack, or he died of old age, and it was all planned, predestined, God knew the date, and so on. So, well, no, wait, whoa. Now, why does he say that you can add years to your life? Why does he say, with a long life I'll satisfy and show you my salvation? Why is it that everybody Jesus raised from the dead was young? Why didn't he leave them dead? They died. Just a thought. Yeah, just think about it. I mean, if it was God's will and they had an appointed time to die, gee, sure messed that thing up. Raised them back up and they lived longer.
Yeah.
Well, obviously, it wasn't their time to die, was it?
Yeah.
It wasn't their appointed time. So I think you can add years to your life.
Yeah.
You know, hey, quit being so mean. You'll live longer. That's why I always say, drinking and smoking cigarettes and all this. Now, stay with me. I never get on people about this. You know, you can go to heaven smoking cigarettes. I mean, you don't go to hell for smoking cigarettes. You smell like you've been there, but I mean, you don't go to hell for smoking cigarettes. Now, stay with me. I'm not being mean. I just, you know, can you go to heaven smoking cigarettes? Well, sure you can. You'll get there quicker. Now, y'all love me, okay? You love me? Okay. But you can add years to your life, see? By doing certain things we know naturally and physically, there's certain things we can do. Well, spiritually, there's things we can do too. Woo! Hallelujah. And you know what? Not just years to our life, but quality of life. Peace. Peace. Who wants to live long with no peace? I understand that. I wouldn't. Come on. I'd take me out right now if the rest of my life's not going to have peace. But if God will give me peace, hallelujah, yeah, I want to stay longer and help more people. And there's things I can do to get peace. Praise God. He says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they shall add to you. They will add. These words, these commandments will add peace to you. Woo! Man, they'll keep you from fretting and worrying and being all upset about everything and coming unglued and apart at the seams. And, you know, that old saying, you know, you're giving people a piece of your mind. That's why you don't have any left, because you're giving so much away, you know. But you don't have to do that. You don't have to come apart. You can stay together. You can have a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Glory. I am not going to have time to get to the thing I want to get to. Tell you what, we'll close out Isaiah 48. I think I actually quoted this the other day. Isaiah 48. You know, often people will say, well, go ahead and finish, Pastor. Well, what am I going to quit? I can preach for 3 more hours. Come on, 4 more hours. This is not India. You wouldn't stay. You'd be mad at me and upset. And, you know, you say you'd like it, but I mean, I'd stay about 3 more hours, and I'm telling you what, we'd have a low crowd next week anyway. Besides, I give you enough chew on already. If you just took what we said already, it'd change your life, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
That's why I don't pay any attention to the time, because it doesn't matter. You know, I mean, as far as, you know, I'm going to go 3 hours, 2 hours. We try to quit around 12, 12:05, 12:15, and I just stop it.
Yeah.
And so once you get through, we never get through. There is no getting through with this, okay? I can think of 5 more messages on peace that I'm not going to get to all of them in the month of June. But time July comes around, we'll probably start teaching something else because you need to hear some other subjects. Are you with me? I could stay on peace. We could teach on peace the rest of the year. But then, you know, you need to love each other. You need to learn to pray. You need to live holy. There's a lot of other things we need to teach on. Healing, miracles, signs, wonders, and so on and so forth. And so as a pastor, and especially as a church, if we're going to be balanced and grow up, then we need to have a steady diet. We need to eat everything on the plate. And not just have ice cream every week. Okay. That help you? You understand, you know, where I am? I mean, as a pastor, I have a lot of things I'd like to preach. I don't get to because God wants you rounded and balanced and wants me balanced too. Because I could just get on one subject and just stay for a year on it. Teaching ministries do that because they go from church to church to church and they get one good hot message, man, and everywhere they go, they never heard it. So it gets better every time. That's why I love going out. They laugh at all my jokes, all my sayings are all new, you know. I just pick out a real hot message I preach that year and go for it, you know, if the anointing's on it. And Isaiah, every message is hot around here, amen. Isaiah 48. See, this is real, yeah, I did share this, I think, the other night. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, 17 verse, Isaiah 48, 17. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, that teacheth thee to profit, that leads you in the way you should go. Man, I love that. Instruction. Everybody say instruction. Instruction. What does he teach us? He teaches us to profit. God doesn't teach you to go under. If you want to go under, you're on your own. But God will teach you to go over. He won't teach you to have a bad marriage. You don't need him to teach you to do that.
Right.
Okay? But you need him to teach you to have a good one.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
He doesn't need to teach you to be a bad guy, mean guy, selfish, self-centered. No, no, no. You need him to teach you how to be nice and not be selfish. See? He teaches us to profit. He doesn't teach us to go under. If you want to go under, go somewhere else. But if you want to go over, come to Jesus. You need to come to Jesus' meeting. If you want to make it in life, make it marriage, make it, you know, business, whatever. He leads you by the way you should go. Oh, 18th verse, that you had hearkened to my commandments, then had your peace been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea.
Ooh.
How? From listening to his commandments. From listening to his word. Long life and peace they will add to thee. Thou will keep him in perfect peace. His mind is stayed on thee, fixed on thee. Hey, we're not playing church here. We're not just memorizing scriptures. This is not just religious ceremonies and exercises we're going through. The peace of God, the peace that comes from heaven, comes from this word. Comes from his instruction.
Yes.
Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments, then your peace had been like a river, ever flowing, and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, that teacheth thee to profit, that leads thee by the way you should go. You should have a peaceful life. You should go this way. Oh, that you'd hearken to my commandments, then your peace had been like a river and your righteousness like the waves of the sea. God really wants you to have peace.
Yes.
He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to have a grace, his graciousness to come towards you, his kindness to come towards you. He has a destiny, a future, and a hope for you and for me. He really, really does. But we're going to have to get to him. We're going to have to call on him and with our whole heart seek him out. And if we'll do that and get in his word and get the junk out of our head, okay? Quit meditating on all the problems and start meditating on the answer.
Amen.
Yes. Amen. Peace will come.
Hallelujah.
Peace for finances, peace in your business. We live in a world of fear and turmoil and bad news. Man, I tell you, you turn the news on, it's just one bad event after another. I love what Brother Osteen said. He got on an airplane one time and sat down, and this guy had this newspaper and he was reading it. And Brother Osteen, John Osteen, this is Joel Osteen's dad, who's my pastor for years, and Eva's pastor too. But we sat down, he sat down beside this guy with his newspaper, and this guy was reading his newspaper. Brother Osteen pulled out his Bible and he says, hey, he punched him. He says, you got the bad news? I got the good news. And that's really the way it is. You can turn TV on and get the bad news, or you can open your Bible and get the good news. Peace is going to come from God's Word. Amen.
Yeah.